Good morning again. It is good to see so many familiar faces. And somebody, as I was greeting out in the narthex, said to me, well, you don't have Alzheimer's. As I was remembering some names, I was actually surprised at how some of your names and saw your faces rolled off my tongue. However, I will confess that in the back of my mind, I'm going, oh, gee, the next person, I'm going to forget their name. Because I find that I think a lot more about heaven than I used to. You know, I'm liable to wander into the kitchen and say, "Why? What am I here after?" You know. But it is good to see you, and look forward to spending a little bit of time after the service and renewing those old acquaintances and to meet some new ones. 50 years ago, to some of us, that sounds like a very short time. You know, 50 years ago is when the Beatles first came to America. And I saw in the newspaper a few weeks ago, it commemorated the 50th anniversary of the Cubs sending Lou Brock to St. Louis for Ernie Broglio. So I'm hoping that in getting rid of Jeff Samardzija and Hamill for this young kid out in California, Addison Russell, will turn out to be a good deal for us in reverse. 50 years ago is when Jan and I started dating. Had our first date on Valentine's Day in 1964, and it seems like just yesterday. Also, 50 years ago next year, is when I was ordained into the ministry. And so I have a lot of thought process about what was going on then. But as you can realize, I spent most of my adult years being called Reverend or Pastor Jay. And for the last 7 years, been retired, and it's been kind of interesting. Now, I might be somewhere, and somebody, because I'm in my hometown, will say, "Mr. Walkington," and I'm looking around to see if my father is in the room, you know. But mostly these days, I just get called Papa, and that's the best joy that anyone can have. Recently, a couple weeks ago, went into a restaurant with a high school classmate, and as we were walking in, he said to me, as we were talking about the world events, he says, "I am frightened about what's happening in our world. This is frightening times." And I got to thinking about that as I was preparing for this morning. 50 years ago, that was also frightening times. I was a young seminary student in Dallas, Texas. President Kennedy had just been assassinated. We'd been through the Cuban Missile Crisis. We were afraid for our future on a daily basis. And it was the time of the Civil Rights Movement. And literally, by the time the 60s ended, the world, or the United States, was going up and burning. Our cities were burning. As a young seminary student, though, I viewed it as an opportunity to be in the world and bring God's grace into a very turbulent time. Our theme song was "Michael Rowed the Boat Ashore," and "They Will Know We Are Christians by Our Love," and "We Shall Overcome Someday." Don't know if that really happened. By the end of the 60s, revenge, power struggles, and things started to get quite ugly again. So the world really hasn't changed much, and the summons is still the same to serve humanity. But in 1964, a young congregation began in Jennings House, and I'm sure you've heard about Jennings House in the Barn over and over again. I took a drive over that way a couple weeks ago to reacquaint myself with that piece of territory. But filled with dreams, a young congregation, young kids, hopes of a community, as Schaumburg was really just getting going. Because when I went to Arlington Heights, there was no Woodfield. There was only like 3,000 people in Schaumburg, and our Redeemers was just somewhere off there in the corner. And I always like to think about and wonder about Wayne MacArthur and what a young generation of children learned as they looked at Wayne in his black robe from the judge's bench. If they thought that God was like a judge and the choir was a jury. And of course, you know what happens if you misbehave, because where you go, jail's downstairs, you know. But then moved to this building, and I'm glad that the floor had been raised, the narthex and all that had been completed by the time I became your pastor. And the sanctuary, the grounds, everything just looks very, very, very wonderful. However, I noticed that some things never change. They're still here. It's going to be an archaeological find someday. But I'm also glad I never had to preach up in the crow's nest. And I do have Alzheimer's because I forgot where I'm going to go next. with all of this, world's changing. And that is something that the Israelites needed to know and needed to remember in the scripture passage that Bruce read to us. Actually, 2 Isaiah, basically the 39th through the 53rd chapters of Isaiah, and it is written about 545 B.C. It is written to a people who are living in slavery in Babylon. And when the Babylonians captured Jerusalem, they destroyed it. Only a part of the Wailing Wall was left. The temple was torn down, all the palaces, the whole city was gone, and the whole population was moved off as slaves into Babylon. And so there is Psalm 137, "By the rivers of Babylon we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps on the willow trees, for there our captors asked us for our songs. They tormented us and challenged us, said, 'Sing the songs of Zion.' How can you sing the Lord's song in a foreign land?" Israel had to come to grips that their whole reality had been changed. At one time under David and Solomon, they were the biggest empire on the face of the earth. They ruled it. Now, David and Solomon, that was in the 900s, we're now approaching 500, 400 and some years later. That empire didn't last very long. But now the nation is gone. The people are gone. Once again, they are slaves, and they have been slaves for the last 45 years, not as long as the 400 years that they spent as slaves in Egypt. And then, all of a sudden, we hear this passage saying, "Gather the people around, all the nations, and proclaim that Israel is my witness." I can just see one of those guys saying, "Hey, Dawood, Ibrahim, Sarah, did you hear what that crazy prophet Isaiah is saying down by the river? He is saying that we are to be the light to the nations. We are to be the sign of God's presence in all the world. We are slaves, you know, to the Persians, to the Babylonians, the greatest civilizations that have ever been on the face of the earth. They've outstripped Egypt in their glory. We're going to be a light to them." What is he thinking? In the 42nd chapter, well, before I get there, there's the last line of that verse. Isaiah says, and I like the way the New English Bible says it, says, "Cease to dwell on days gone by, or to brood about past history. Forget about yesterday. Here and now I am going to do a new thing." At this moment, it's going to be like a flower breaking forth from the bud. Can you not perceive it? Wow. What was God going to do with the Israelites? Because we are familiar with those passages. It is the famous, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Bring up every valley, and every mountain shall be made low, and a straight highway shall be made through the desert for our king. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news." Words to people without a country, no people whatsoever, living in slavery. But God is saying, "I am going to do a new thing." And part of the word that is in there in the 42nd chapter, God says, or through the prophet Isaiah, something very interesting. He says, I give you as a covenant to the people. I give you as covenant, a sign of my presence to the people. And that reminds me of this whole big thing that I just left out. Something very, very important. Frivolous, not to what I want to say, but as I looked around and I saw those water buckets, I was going to ask, you know, I look at this church, and I know that many of you know, this reminds me of being inside the Starship Enterprise. Going off to say the planet Arump. Mr. Spock, is that you? Mr. Spock, come up here. Come here. Yes, yes, come here. Look at you. All right. Yeah. My God, what happened to you, man? Your ears. I hear rumors that your ghost has been seen around here in black that says security on it. Is that true?
Maybe.
Maybe. Is Mr. Kirk here? Captain Kirk, are you here?
Oh. Bill.
He's not. Dan's not here.
We have the Klingon chief.
The Klingon chief? No, I needed. Yeah, I'll get to him. He's a nasty guy. I was going to ask Captain Kirk, Jen and I are going to China October 1st, if he can give me a good deal on rooms in Chengdu. Yeah! The Klingon chief is smiling. You're done. Never seen Dan speechless. That might be true. And then, speaking of voices for outer space, I do know that our Redeemers made it all the way to the Jay Leno show. Yeah, some of you are familiar where there's a, you know, as you know, there's a cell phone tower up in the cross, and Jay Leno walked around going, imitating a preacher, "Can you hear me now, God? Can you hear me now, God?" And actually, it's kind of reverse, because it ought to be, as we gather here at the foot of the cross, a sign of God's presence among us, can we hear God? Then bring in all that I've said, and here and now God is doing a new thing, and that he asked the Israelites to be a sign of his presence in the world today. And that's the same thing, and that was picked up here in the report from annual conference. How are you, and how am I, being a sign of God's presence in the world today? And we know very well what that means. We you know, we have caring ministries. The other thing that we started when I was here was disciple. Now those two things go together. You can't have one without the other. It's like having heads and no tails on a coin. And it's part of our learning, it's part of our training to be God's presence in the world today, and that's what makes the difference. You know, I used to be as expert as anybody in worry, Jan will tell you, you know, counting how many we had in church this week, and is it more than last week, and is it more than last year, and what the income is, and all those kinds of things. But it's really not about making great churches as much as making great people, because we can be a wonderful church, but if we're not being God's presence in the world, it really doesn't amount to too much. And we know what that means. You know, I know you put on the play here. You did it when I was here. You've done it since, about the Last Supper. And Jesus washes the disciples' feet, and he says to them, you know, because none of the disciples were to do what the required act of washing feet. And Jesus says, you know, if I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, how happy you will be if you can put that into practice. I give you a new commandment. New commandment means new covenant, means New Testament. This is the center of the New Testament, to love one another as I have loved you. And Jesus says, you know, at one time, when he was asked by James and John which of them could be the greatest in his kingdom, says, "You've heard it said of the princes of this world that they like to lord it over with their subjects." That's not the way it is to be with you. Whoever wants to be great among you must be a servant. And whoever wants to be first, number one, and this is the line that always gets me, must be the willing slave of all. In retirement, you know, that has come back to haunt me in terms of how am I being God's presence in my world today? That role, that obligation, that has never changed. And I am just absolutely delighted to know that we're going to consecrate to send off to the Jersey Shores a mission team, and that Caring Ministries has been such an important part of who you are as we represent God's presence. Because there's one passage of scripture that I think about every day and that haunts me. And those of you who are on the mission team, get ready to get your feet moving and you come up here in a second. The passage that haunts me is found in the third chapter of 1 John. And John says, anyone who hates a brother or sister or neighbor is a murderer. And we all know that eternal life, another word for that is God's life, cannot dwell in a murderer. How can God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods? Here's the call of aid from a neighbor and closes their hand. And yet God gives us the opportunity every day, to be a sign of his presence. That's what this congregation has been, that in Schaumburg, that's what you still are, and that is our summons as we serve humanity. And I think that's just a wonderful opportunity to come up and consecrate these people that are going to the Jersey Shore.